I certainly appreciate that accommodation of time for my time. I trust it will not be a hardship for anyone, and enjoy Friday evening in a way that you normally would not, whatever that may be. I really appreciate that kindness. Whoever said old folks aren't flexible? I'll tell you what. God is infinite and eternal. Of all of the attributes, I think this is the hardest one for us to get any hold on at all. Theologians sometimes group the attributes into communicable and non-communicable. I know that sounds like a disease, but it is not. Communicable and non-communicable in the sense that some of God's attributes are reflected in a limited way in us. God is love, we love. Some attributes are not seen in us. Omnipotence, omnipresence. This one particularly. God is infinite and eternal. We cannot imagine things without beginnings, times, sequences, moments, minutes, hours. We are so given that way. And we of the Western world particularly are so schedule-oriented. Do you find yourself that way? They've invented day timers. It's like a leash on a person with this big book to organize every moment of every day because of the time sequencing. The beginning, the end is always with us. It is difficult to even think of something without beginning or without end. And yet such is the case with God. God is infinite and eternal. God has no bounds or limitations of space or time. And He exists endlessly, both past and future. The infinity of God is that perfection of God by which He is free from all limitations. His eternity is that perfection of God whereby He is elevated above all temporal limitations and all succession of moments, and possesses the whole of His existence in one indivisible present. He is the I Am. Now, I know those things are true biblically, but to consider that, to consider a limitless, no beginning, no end being, is so difficult for us. So we'll seek to get hold of that a little bit. Moses writes a psalm about it, Psalm 90. We sang this already. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting, to everlasting, you are God. I'd like to relate this whole psalm to us and read it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 90. I would point out, and we miss these things sometimes when we jump right into the first verse, that this psalm was written by Moses. That man of God used to write the Pentateuch, in which the revelation of God's creation is recorded in some great detail. Above all human beings, Moses would have understood from God Himself, in one way or another, the account of creation. Moses is the one that records it for us. Obviously, Moses was not there. So this is from the mouth of God to Moses, in one way or another. It is Moses who had that a close relationship with God. When God passed by at the giving of the law and he saw the hinder parts of God, and he glowed with the glory of God reflected in him, a departing glory, as he returned from direct communication with God. That's the man who writes this psalm. I think he understood whereof he spoke more than any other human being could in coming face to face with the Creator God. Verse 1 of Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, Return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses looks at the eternal God who, ere the mountains were formed, was from everlasting to everlasting. And then he looks at himself and recognizes his own limitations as to time. Here is that famous passage of Scripture that tells us the days of our lives are 70 years. How many have reached that? Do you understand the next verse? And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, even that is sorrowful. And those extra years of God's grace are difficult years, aren't they? Aren't they? If by reason of strength, as our strength ebbs from us. And Moses looks at life here in a rather discouraged way. Anguish and sorrow. Is that accurate? Man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. It is a certainty. This is not, however, our last chapter. That is the glory of it. And he is relating in this to the greatness of God, and by the end of his psalm is praying to strengthen us in the days that remain. And then did you notice this is one of your prayers as it is mine? Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Aren't we concerned with that as we come to this stage in life, where we are looking forward to being with God and yet entrusting our children in this struggle of life to see the hand of God manifested in their lives as it has been in our own? Don't you have that prayer and concern for your children and grandchildren? We're looking toward God. We'll not be long. And we are looking for our children to have that same experience of walking with God. The God that is described here, who, before he ever created the earth and the worlds, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
How do we get hold of this? I think we have to contemplate what that means. Before there was anything, there was God, from everlasting to everlasting. I've been contemplating this of late, particularly as I have been working in these areas in my private studies. And on one occasion, I was driving home, I think from one of the meetings of the leadership of the church, driving down a country road in Iowa, beautiful fields. There's one particular spot, my wife knows it well, as we drive home. You look up on a hillside, and there is the red barn with the three silos, and the cattle feeding, and the beautiful fields. And this night was a full moon night, and all this was reflected. There was a little bit of cloud, wispy clouds in the sky. The stars were evident. And I started to do this in my mind. Take the moon away. Have you ever done this? Take the stars away. Take the farm away. Take the hills away. Take the cattle away. Take the people away. Take the earth away. Take it all away. And I felt, as I was thinking this way, that if that would happen, if it could and it can't, that we would be back to when there was just God. And I had the strangest feeling. I'm not a feeling person very much. But to contemplate that, the temporal nature of all these things that we count so real, and they are real, it's not a figment of our imagination, but there was a time, wrong, there was a setting in which that never was. What was there then? Where there was no universe, nothing measurable, nothing but God. Can you imagine that? It is so difficult because we are so, here it is. What time is it? It's 10 till. We are so oriented in that direction. Beginning, we celebrate birthdays. You have birthday dinners. And we celebrate the various events that are locked into time, and God has no time limitations. And there was only God. There has only been God in both directions. And what do we see when all this is gone? Do we see God? Well, as a matter of fact, no, we don't. Because the very nature of God, that is, His being, what kind of being is God? Jesus tells us that when He talks to the Samaritan woman. What does He say? God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And all at once we're thinking about God and in His being, and He does not have dimensions. He's a spirit being. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In their being, Father, Son, and Spirit are spirit beings. Up until the incarnation, there is nothing physically tangible within the Godhead. There's nothing to see. You will say, but what about all those descriptions underneath of the everlasting arms? And His eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth. And He treads across the field, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. And all those descriptions of God in human terms. That's just to help us understand Him. We call it an anthropomorphism. a manlike description of God so that we can understand He is strong. He is the Ancient of Days with gray hair. He is eternal. He has seven eyes. He sees everything. They're just descriptions to help us. And so are the emotional descriptions. We'll look at this when we come to immutability this evening. That God repents that He ever made us. That's so we can understand somewhat the feelings of God. Yes, there is disappointment. How can an omniscient being be disappointed or surprised? Well, He speaks in our language so we can understand somewhat of His emotional side as He addresses our emotional side. These are man-like descriptions of God, both in the physical terms and in the emotional terms, so that we can get hold of something about God. But we never can get hold of all of it. So when we have taken away all the material creation that God has made, and the moon is gone, and the stars are gone, and the sun is gone in our thinking, and we're trying to see, well, who is this God I'm dealing with? When we get that all out of our mind and recognize He is distinct from all that, He is before and after and above, and not trapped in time as we seem to be so much. And we get that out of our mind and then say, okay, now let me focus on God. There's nothing to focus on. He is a spirit being. He does not have dimensions. He is not 6.5 feet tall, 280 pounds, perfect man type person. No dimensions. He's a spirit being. So as we are contemplating that vast nothingness before God ever created, what is there to see with God? What can I get hold of? He is a spirit being. He is not bound by space and time. He is everywhere present. That's omnipresence. We'll come on that. He is omniscient. He is spirit. He is not limited physically, localized at all. And yet, there seems to be that description of a particular setting. We may call it heaven. And in one of the songs we have sung, you have noticed how we're in the front of the book most of the time, where all the great theological hymns are located. Seems to be the way. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. That is so accurate theologically. No beginning, no end. Invisible, omniscient, God only wise. And then a passage from Timothy is quoted. In light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. No man hath seen God at any time, nor can we. Now we do see the glory of God. That is distinct. And I think that's that great light. Wherever God chooses to be in a particular way, whatever heaven is in that dimension. There are all sorts of difficulties in regard to this in our understanding. We have to think totally differently. God in being is simplicity. We are complex. We are body, soul, spirit. Angels are somewhat complex. They have some sort of body. They are spirits who are localized. You tell me how to define that. How do you localize a spirit that does not have measurements in the first place? But an angel cannot be here and there. We can only be here. An angel can come from here to there very quickly. God is everywhere. He does not have dimensions. Angels are localized some way in a spirit being. We have a very complex makeup, body, soul, spirit, angels, some sort of body, more spirit-oriented. God is only spirit. Simplicity. And in that spirit being, We have three members of the Trinity, the same in essence, all sharing equally all of the attributes we are studying, but distinct in subsistence, that is, functioning according to different roles and responsibilities within the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, an ancient symbol of a triangle. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. But the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Now, I know that's correct theology. But our brother said last evening, don't we have difficulty understanding the Trinity? We do. And there is no human illustration that captures it. We are careful to say what the Bible says. There is one only and true God. But in the unity of the Trinity, there are three persons, the same in essence, but distinct in subsistence, sharing equally all of the attributes of Godhood. That is a correct statement within the bounds and limitations of Scripture. God in His being is simplicity, spirit being. God within the Trinity exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we say very carefully, one only and true God. Difficult to understand. That God forever, in a past eternity and in a future to come. Infinity can belong to but one being and therefore cannot be shared with the universe. The universe is not infinite. It is limited. God created it. God only is infinite. What He creates is not infinite. If it were, there would be two gods. Matter is not eternal. Had a beginning. The infinity of God does not involve His identity. In other words, what He made is not Him. That is pantheism. The infinite God is separate from all that He created. But it does not prevent His coexistence with what He created. Though infinity and finiteness do not meet, they can coexist. And so will we. When we are with the Lord, we will never be God. And we will continually learn more and more about God and what He has done. And we will come closer to knowing, but they will never match. By definition, they cannot. But that does not mean we cannot coexist. The infinite God can stand next to finite creation and finite people without conflict. Eternity. This is an old quotation and very interesting. The notion of eternity is difficult. If no man will ask me the question, what time is, I know well enough what it is. But if any man ask me what it is, I know not how to explain it. Now, isn't that a true statement? I'll say, what time is it? It's 5 after 10. We all know what that means. 5 after 10 what? What's it in the next state? I remember the faux pas of Peter Jennings in the famous Florida election. You've heard of the famous Florida election? Yeah. In which he said, oh, there's no problem in reporting early. Florida's polls are all closed. What didn't he know? That the western part of Florida is in a different time zone. Whoa. So what is time?
Well, if you're in Indiana, it depends on what side of the street you're talking about. You know, they can't make up their mind, daylight saving or not. You go through Indiana and you have to set your clock every 30 miles or so. Any of you experienced that in your lifetime? It's really interesting. I don't know. You must be at 8:30 on the hour if you have one foot in each section, wouldn't you think? What is time? We all know time very well, but to define what it is. Have you ever noticed how time is a very relative thing? Sometimes a time in a meeting like this is so long, and at the dinner table, so short. It's amazing how it varies on us. It is a measure. And it depends on what you're measuring and how detailed you're measuring. Very difficult concept. So if you ask me what time is, hey, easy. We all function according to time precisely. But if you ask me what it really is, it's the marking out of events. It is significant at some time, at another time. Well, listen to the time. At another time, it is not very significant. Very difficult thing to define. And so it is. Is it as we think of eternity? It's very difficult to define. Some observations, and it's always safe to go to Scripture to see how God talks about this. First of all, in relationship to God, He had no beginning. He identifies a beginning. He identifies the beginning of time. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1, created the heavens and the earth. That's when time starts. But that's not when God starts. He was there when time started. He's the one that wound up the clock. He's the one that invented the clock. Genesis 21:33, then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Think of that. The everlasting God. From a past eternity to a future. And in a very casual way, he says, there's my God. No beginning. No end. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. The Ancient of Days, a description of a person who's been here forever. In John 17:24, Jesus is praying, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before time, before the foundation of the world. And I want my people to see what it was like when there was nothing but the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and how in that Trinity relationship there was perfect love. I want my people to see how it was before there was time. We'll see that. That prayer will be answered. Of us, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which were given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The Bible addresses this concept of an eternal God above time. Everlasting, past and future, but active in creating time and explaining that to us. God is not only without beginning, He is without end. Psalm 9:7, but the Lord shall endure forever. 52:9, I will praise you forever. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He continues on steadily. No beginning, no ending. There is no succession when God thinks about time.
in the sense that all things are eternally present to him. We'll comment more on that. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in your presence of your saints, I will wait on your name. Like a cloak, you will fold them up and they will be changed. But you are the same and your years will not change. Known to God from all eternity are all his works. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He relates to us in a singular way. All things are present before him. He does likewise. Talk about things being past and done and over and forgotten, particularly our sin. But recognize that God in his non-limitation has the sequence of time at his disposal. The picture that many use to try to help is that of an editor putting a movie together. We all know what a movie is. We're not supposed to know that, but we all know what that is. You know how it works. A tape. I don't know how this would work on a CD, but probably the same way. We can move things about. All the pieces are there. Here are the pieces on the floor. You've snipped and cut and all that. And as a producer puts a movie together, the scenes are not even taken in order. They are assembled. And it may help us to understand somewhat that God is the great producer. I hope that is not an ungodly thing to use as a description. But he has all the pieces of life and he can think of them in whatever arrangement he would like. And some say it goes even a little further. That as a producer, he has a cameo appearance. That's the incarnation, where God steps into the movie that he is directing. And he is in charge of the time sequencing. And for those of us who view it, it looks like it's in the perfect order as to how it is working out as we live it. That's the way we view it, but the producer doesn't necessarily view it that way. And he is in it. Though he is infinite, he can coexist with the finite. And he does in the incarnation and all that is associated with it. Because God is eternal, he knows all things as present. Known to God from all eternity are all his works. Acts 15:18. The eternal God, not bound by time or space. Now, how does that impact on me? We are not eternal. We have time limitations, at least on this end of life. As Moses approached this concept, and he sees that God is everlasting. Before the hills were made, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And I have these few years at best. What are we to do? This is what we're to do. In regard of the vast disproportion of our duration to the duration of God. What does that mean? God is eternal. We are like this. Here are some observations. We have more of not being than being. Humanity, as we stack humanity up to the duration of God, we have more of not being than being. A past eternity of not being. What being we have, what existence we have, had a beginning. That's at creation. What existence we have was in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What being we have had a beginning. What being we have
is but of a short duration in regard of our life in this world. Finally, God creates, we have being. How long does that being last in relationship to this world? It is of but short duration. 70. If by reason of strength more, even that strength is weakness. It is of short duration. There was not much in the way of being. It is recent on the scene. Now on the scene, it is of short duration. Here is the good news. What being we have is destined for eternal duration relating to our destiny. Do you get the force of that? What being we have has eternal duration in our ultimate destiny. So get this big picture as we relate to time. And as God, the timeless being, coexists with us and brings us into an experience of life. Here it is. Of being, it has lately come on the scene. Of being that we have, it is of short duration in regard to this earth. Of being that we have extends eternally into the future. Now, does that have a message for any one of us? Big time message. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. In relationship, understanding that the being that we have next to the eternal existence of God is limited, extremely limited on this earth, but is and approximates the rest of God's duration in heaven, that heaven is our home. That's the place we are headed. Now listen to these considerations. Recognize that the world has a short standing in regard to eternity. Now we sing about this. This world is not my home. Do you know this song? I'm just a passing through the treasures I've laid up. That's right. It's a good peppy song. We are pilgrims and strangers. Our citizenship is in heaven. We wait for the Lord. Recognize that the world has a short standing. Secondly, recognize that the beauties of this world are transitory and passing. We do not live for the things of this world. They pass away quickly and are of little significance in the big picture. Recognize this, that these things of the world that can so much occupy our attention are not fit objects for a soul which was made to have an interest in God's eternity. We are God's people. We have a beginning in our existence that will last forever in God's presence. And to live for the things of this short period of life, these things are not worthy objects of those of us who will be forever praising God. Is that a trap for us? Not for you. As our brother said, it pleases God that you come out to all of these meetings as a choice. I am preaching to the choir. But do you know Christians who live for this world? Taken up with this world, loving the present world, not preparing for an eternity with God. This is but of short duration. And to have our mind on the same thing that the world has its mind on is not worthy of people destined for glory with God. Let us provide for a happy interest in our own lives in the eternity of God.
a happy interest in that, a meditation on that. And that's what we are doing. That's what you do regularly. Meditate on the things of God. If God is eternal and we are bound for that eternal destiny, how worthy is He of our choicest affections and strongest desires of communion? I am 80 years here. 80 years here. I am forever with the Lord. How worthy is He now of my communion, of our worship together, of the focus of our lives? If that vast proportion of my existence is to be spent with Him, how worthy is He of communion right now in my life? If God is eternal, He only is worthy of our best service. Whatever that may be in our Christian experience, to serve the Lord. I think we understand. If any group of people understands this, we should. That you are a servant of the Lord as much as I am a servant of the Lord. Do we understand that? We all enter into that. How do we all serve the Lord? In whatever we do. I've seen folks working in the hospitality center serving the Lord just as much as I am. He is worthy of our best service. I enjoy the wonderful touches that people have put in place in serving you as they serve the Lord. I love the refreshment, the hospitality center, the beauty of that room. Do you all appreciate that? It is so lovely. The pictures on the walls, the decorations that are so tastefully done to make it pleasant for God's people here on earth. Now, we don't worship those things, but we serve God. He is worthy of our highest service in doing all of these things for one another, in caring for one another in our times of needs. God is worthy of that, and it transforms the mundane things of our Christian experience into acts of worship and praise for God. God is worthy of that in our lives, of our best service for Him. And that is manifested in very specific, detailed, everyday activities of life. And we see that happening all around. God is worthy of that. And one day our Savior says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And Peter says this in conclusion, "But beloved, do not forget," and he quotes the psalm we read, "this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering for us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look to a new heavens, for a new heavens and a new earth, in which dwells righteousness. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest any fall from your own steadfastness. being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We know this ahead of time. We know that our being is recent. Our being here on earth is short. Our being in heaven is of enormous duration. It is forever. Therefore, we live for that day, the day of God. And we approach that, looking forward to be forever with the Lord. Yes, we have everlasting life. And we, finite creatures, will coexist next to the infinite God. We are forever. The eternal God has brought us salvation. Let's pray together. Our Father, to try to comprehend a being such as yourself, without beginning, without end, without limitation, without dimension, everlasting, is beyond the grasp of our finite minds. But to think that we shall be forever with you, that we gain everlasting life, that we will coexist next to the infinite God, we praise your name for such grace in ever redeeming us. And so help each one of us to live a life in view of the eternal duration of our future, with our best service, our best communion, our best worship. Worthy are you. We give you thanks, the eternal God, in your Son's name. Amen.